Good to see everyone here this morning, first Sunday of October. We're continuing a series through Ephesians. This morning we're going to begin in chapter 2. I have these cards for those who would like the whole series in a little card. It's laminated. You can put it in your Bible. Follow along. You'll know what we'll be covering and well, at least the title. I won't give away the substance until that Sunday, so you'll have to come. But if you want one, I'll put these out on the glass case behind us in that hallway. Also, the newsletter for October is on the right there as well, if you would like one to take home if you're not on the mailing list. And as you're turning to Ephesians chapter 2, I want to share that Mount Hermon Baptist Church is now on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, then you can friend Mount Hermon Baptist Church. She would love to be your friend. This will be a great way to keep up with the events of the church throughout the week. And also, if you want to read the newsletter or listen to a sermon, there'll be links through the Facebook page, so you can do that. I'll also be adding some encouraging notes and updates, and hopefully in the future, we can add music on the page, so that if we're learning a new music at church, you can listen to it and sing along before you ever come to church. Now, other churches, youth groups, camps, Christian ministries are on Facebook, but I'm proud to say that Mount Hermon Baptist Church is the first Mount Hermon Baptist Church on Facebook. There's a lot of Mount Hermon Baptist churches out there, and there's some other Mount Hermon ministries, but we're the first church, and so I wanted to mention that. We're also in the process of developing a website that'll work together with Facebook to advertise the church to this community, and as well as connect her members together throughout the week. It's kind of a weird body that connects on one morning every week and then goes its separate ways. I hope that these ways of connecting will help us as a member of one body to stay connected throughout the week, along with the old-fashioned phone calls and visits and just saying hello throughout the week as well, and I encourage you to keep doing that. I also want to mention, before we read, our memorizing challenge for this series. 2 weeks ago, I likened Bible memorization to a cow chewing some cud. We often don't have a Bible with us or we're busy doing other things, but we could always take those verses that we've memorized and chew on them for a little bit and let them get inside you and transform you. Jamie mentioned a couple weeks ago that she'd like to call it the CUD Challenge. And if you want to call it the CUD Challenge, then and if that motivates you, then that's great. If you want to hear the sermon of when I gave the CUD challenge, it's on YouTube. All you got to do is search Pastor Rich Goodyear on YouTube, and you'll actually see a video of a cow chewing while I'm preaching. But I wanted to update you on my decision. I think I'm going to memorize some verses from the passage last week. I thought that they really touched me, and I want to keep them in me for a while. I'm excited about it. My sister, though, she was here during the CUD challenge, and she told me that she's going to memorize the first half of chapter 1. That's more than 5 verses, and if you want to up the ante with her, then that would be great. But just curious, has anyone chosen 5 verses so far? Anyone picked 5 verses yet? It's fairly early yet. One? And another one? Okay, great. It's fairly early yet, but I encourage you to go through Ephesians this week If you pick five verses today, then on average, you'll be memorizing one verse every 2 weeks, which is pretty good. And in the end, you'll have these five verses under your belt. Well, let us together read Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And this faith is not from yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared advanced for us to do. The word of God for the people of God. Now, as you can follow, Paul here is telling a story. It's a story of our lives. We were objects of wrath, dead in our own transgressions. But because of God's great love for us, God made us alive in Christ. This is the story that we'll be covering this morning. But I want you to see that the whole of the book of Ephesians is a story. Paul is telling the grand story of creation. From before the beginning, when there was nothing but God, to after the end. That is what Ephesians is one big story. The biggest story ever told, by the way. In chapter 1, we were introduced to God and God's plan to have a family. God is giving his family every spiritual blessing in Christ to be for the praise of his glory. God also raised Christ from the dead to be the firstborn of new creation and the firstborn from the grave. We too, as part of this great family, will be raised from the dead by God and join Christ in eternity. The chapters that we'll be covering in the next few weeks will tell the story of the Hebrew people, of us, the Gentile people, joining the Hebrew people as God's loved ones, of the church as God's vehicle to redeem the world, and of the ongoing battle for holiness in Christ. But this morning, we're going to cover that terrible and terribly wonderful story of our sinfulness and our salvation. Let us begin first with sin. Well, actually, many who want to talk about or write about God's salvation will begin with sin. And to a point, it makes kind of some sense to begin with sin. You really want to first talk about the disease before you talk about the cure. No one really cares about the cure that you have if no one sees a need for it. But in another sense, beginning with sin is sorely misguided. What we must begin with is God, and God incarnate in Christ. That is, by the way, how Paul started his letter. He spends his first chapter just doting on God and the wonderful gifts that God gives us. He doesn't even mention sin in the first chapter. And of course, that's how the Bible begins too. It doesn't begin with Genesis 3 and the fall of humanity. It begins with God. In the beginning, God. Well, God really is the only beginning, the only reference point that is worth beginning a story with. You build a story around God, and every other brick falls into place and supports that story. So now that we have begun the story with God, the last 2 weeks, doting on him and his glorious son, along with Paul, we can begin talking about sin. Sin. I mean, where do you start with sin? It's a crazy thing. I remember a story of this theologian, I forget his name, but he wanted to write about holiness and sin. So he wrote a book on holiness, and it was a pretty thin book, pretty short. Because in the end, holiness is really quite simple. We know holiness because it's defined by who God is. God says, be holy because I am holy. And it's simple as that. It makes sense, and it makes sense that a book on holiness is thin. But when he got finished with writing about sin, the book was not thin. He had volumes. Sin just doesn't make sense. You have to penetrate the human psyche to understand why. Why do we sin? The good and happy way to live rightly is according to how God has designed us and has designed creation. The good and happy way to live is in relationship with God. But we turn from that way over and over, and it just doesn't make sense. And it's not just that we make mistakes. I mean, sure, sometimes we'll do something dumb, and we can say to ourselves, I've made a huge mistake. But the crazy thing is that we often sin while knowing that we're sinning. We're aware of our behavior in the very moment that we're sinning. But we keep doing it, though it's self-destructive. What can you call this other than insanity? Sin does not make sense. We are insane to sin, and that's why it takes volumes to explain. Our sinfulness is not merely a blemish that we can remove with a little hard work. It's endemic to us as fallen humanity. It penetrates to the core of our being and prevents us from seeing our problem clearly. I mean, even if we could see our problem, we'd have no power to save ourselves from it. We cannot escape our sinful plight with a sinful nature. It's kind of like a man with a shovel who starts digging a hole. And after a while, he finds himself inside the hole, and he thinks to himself, well, I'll just take this shovel and dig my way out. And he keeps digging and digging, and he never realizes that he's digging his own grave. What we have, our sinful nature, will not save us from the problem that it has created. And that's what Paul writes about. We're not blemished in our transgressions. We're not injured in our transgressions. We're not comatose in our transgressions or handicapped in our transgressions. We are D-E-A-D, dead. What can a dead person do to help him or herself? Yeah. Nothing. We as humanity are a dead race. dead in our transgressions, unable to save ourselves from this death. Our problem of self-deceptive, self-destructiveness cannot be saved or solved through self-help or self-actualization. Help must come from somewhere else. And praise be to God that help has come from somewhere else. Help has come in Christ. Christ is the only one who conquered sin in life and conquered death in resurrection. Christ is the only one who in life conquered sin. He conquered sin in his life, a sinless person. And he conquered death in resurrection. Death could not hold him. He rose from the dead and conquered death. Sin and death no longer have authority. Christ has seized that authority, and he is harnessing it. Their authority has become his. And as we saw last week, Christ has all authority. He is above, sitting above all authority. Well, what does that mean for us? Well, we had been controlled by sin and death, dead in our sin leading to death. But God has raised us from that deadly state to new life with Christ. New life with Christ. Notice again the centrality of Christ in this new life. This new life is described as with Christ. If you return to the passage, you see it. Verse 5. God made us alive with Christ. God raised us up with Christ. This new life makes no sense without Christ. It is not called new life because you were a good person. It's not called new life because you attended church faithfully. It's not new life in religion. It's not new life in anything else, but new life in Christ. This new life is with Christ. Without Christ, John says, there is no life. Why? Because Christ is life. Life was created through Christ in Genesis, in the first creation. New life is created through Christ today, in our lives, in the church. Apart from Christ, there is no life. And that is our very problem. We try to live our lives apart from Christ. And what does that give us? Well, when we're apart from Christ who is life, then our lives become death. Without Christ, we're dead in sin. But with Christ, we are alive. That, I think, is great news. But this new life that we have is very special. The NIV translation of the Bible describes it as, we are God's workmanship. The Greek word for that word workmanship, is really interesting. It's pronounced, as far as we understand it, boima. It's a pretty word, I like it, boima. God has made us boimas. It's translated in all sorts of other ways, in other translations, product, handiwork, creature. And if you have a good ear for words, you might even hear an English word in that word, poema. Do you hear it? Poema. Poem. Poem. It's connected to that word in English, poem. And in a way, we're kind of like God's poem. It's a word used to describe what an artisan or an artist produces. It's not cookie cutter. It doesn't come from a stamp factory that makes a million sprockets, all identical. Now these factories, they mean to make identical sprockets, and they can do it efficiently because they're all identical. But we are not cookie cutter, stamp factory sprockets. We are works of art, poemas. One of my favorite TV shows is American Chopper. Anyone like American Chopper? Thanks, good. First of all, it's about this company, Orange County Choppers, up in upstate New York, that makes motorcycles. And these guys are talented. They might not always get along, but they are artists. I love to see them take these hunks of metal, sheet metal, all sorts of these raw materials, and make works of art out of it. They take orders from people, and they make unique, beautiful motorcycles. For example, they'll build a motorcycle for Geico that looks like a gecko. Or they'll build a motorcycle for a guy who loves 57 Chevys, and it'll look like a 57 Chevy. They're all so unique, beautiful, and it's just a talent. They are creating poemas. We are poemas. God has taken time to create a unique and special new life in each and every one of us. Like a sculptor labors over each piece of marble. And, well, that kind of makes sense if you just look at creation around us. Walk out these doors today and look at the beautiful, creative creation that God has made. So unique. Bend down and pick up a blade of grass. Just see how God has designed it. We mow this grass every week, and it keeps coming up. I think, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I think that a lawnmower blade can't stand a chance next to a grass blade. Give it 10 years maybe, but I promise you that blade of grass will outlive that blade on the lawnmower. That is an amazing creation. And it's also just so diverse. So many different organisms wherever you go. We've discovered millions of species already, but you walk into a rainforest and you're going to start tripping over new species. There's just so much diversity, beauty, uniqueness in this creation. God is a creative God. And if the first creation was so creative, imagine this new creation in His Son, Jesus Christ. We have yet to experience or fathom this great creation being wrought within us who are in Christ. And just as God has carefully crafted new life in you, God has also crafted good works for us to exercise in our new lives. God has good works for you to do even today. And in Christ Jesus, we have the power to accomplish them today. Well, as we close, I want to spend just a little time collectively asking the Lord, Lord, show us the good works that you have for us to do today. Our eyes can fail us so often. We have something like spiritual cataracts, and we just cannot see. First, the miracle that we are in our new life. And second, the good works that you have placed in our paths. We need your Holy Spirit to show us. And by your grace, Lord, we know that you will be faithful. Look for those good works today. They might be small ones like an encouraging word or a phone call to a shut-in. Or it might be a tough decision to sacrifice for a stranger. But look for those good works. God has promised that they are in our lives even today. And you as a unique person have been created to accomplish them. And as a corporate creation, new creation, Mount Hermon has many good works to do in this community. I want to challenge you this morning, for those who have not experienced this wonderful new life in Christ, you can receive it freely from God today. I encourage you to come forward during this hymn of invitation. Don't wait any longer for this great gift of God. If you want to commit to this family, Mount Hermon Baptist Church, as a member, as this corporate creation, I encourage you to come forward too. And if you have any other decisions that you would like to make before your family, I encourage you to come forward as well. Pray with me. Oh Lord, we are forgetful people and we need to be reminded over and over. Once we were lost and now we're found. Once we were blind, but now we see the wonders of your glorious Son in our lives. Oh Lord, help us to see the wonderful good works that you have prepared ahead of us to do. We lift up this coming week into your great and glorious hands, and we ask that you use us in this week. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray all these things. Amen.